Hebrews 12, I want to read verse number 1 and 2, but primarily I'm looking at verse number 2. Seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. It's interesting how he talks about our race and then brings up faith, or Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. In other words, this is a faith race. This course we're walking, or this course we're running down in this life, from the way the Bible describes it here, is not just the years passing. It's not just time passing. It's just not we're getting older and going through different phases of life. We were parents and now we're grandparents or something like that. That's natural things. That doesn't equal progression spiritually. What makes you progress spiritually is you're growing and developing in faith. And using your faith to obey God, to take steps in His plan for your life. See, that's what this race is. It's His plan for you and my life. And He's telling us that we use our faith to run our race and to finish our course. Remember, Paul said, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith. Do you know that just because time's passing doesn't mean you're progressing? Spiritually, on this race. So we must be people who look at this, and Jesus is here called the author and the finisher of our faith. So how many of you know the author means He got us started on this? He got us into this walk with God, and He redeemed us. He shed His blood, and He presented that as our redemption. And it's us that believe that, that walk in the light of that, that get started in a walk with God by faith. Right. He's the author of it, but He's also the finisher of our faith. Amen. Amen. I like 1 Thessalonians, we won't turn there, but 1 Thessalonians 3:10, Paul said that God used him, and this is true about all ministers who teach and preach the word. Paul said, I long to see you to perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Yeah. Now, that's not a negative thing. You might say, well, I'm so sorry, Pastor, I'm lacking in my faith. Well, all of us are. I mean, none of us have arrived yet. Right. I mean, I'm going to be perfecting my faith till the day I see Jesus. Yeah. You know, the Bible said now abides faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. He said now abides. Yes. So there's for this whole time now down here, there's going to be a life of faith that we're going to live. Somebody said, well, when do I get to stop believing God? Well, it's going to be for the rest of your life. Yeah. Just get used to walking this way. Get used to this is the life God has chosen for you because of what He wants to do with you and through you and for you. Yeah. And oh, if you turn that mentality into it's a delight to walk with God. It's a delight to take Him at His word. It's a delight to receive from Him. It's a delight to obey Him. Amen. So there are different areas that our spiritual, our faith grows. Because how many of you remember that verse Paul wrote to the Thessalonians? I'm looking forward, don't have it in front of me. But he said, your faith groweth exceedingly. Your faith grows. So God wants our faith to grow. Yes. Jesus is the author of it, but He's also the finisher of it. If you look it up in another translation, it means the perfecter of it. Yes. He brings it to maturity. Nobody starts out mature in anything spiritually. I don't, you don't. We don't walk in mature love or mature faith or mature, you know, patience and long suffering with people or anything like that. We grow and develop in those things. And the same thing's true with faith. We mature in faith and He's the perfecter of it. So there's a lot of different areas we can grow in faith. Every Christian discipline actually is going to come as a result of growing in faith in that area. Like our prayer life, for example. We were talking about that Monday night. You know, our prayer life can grow. We can become more conscious of the presence of God because the Bible said that in the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Well, that's just one aspect of God. There's a lot of aspects of God that you'll know much better as you grow in faith. You'll sense the leading of the inner witness as you grow in faith much better. You'll sense the love of God restraining you and telling you, don't say that as you grow in faith. Amen. There's just so many things that, and you'll sense His presence in prayer. You'll sense, you'll be able to spend time, you'll be able to take time and go to the throne of grace. Fully aware that you're coming into the very presence of the Father and developing that faith to have a prayer life as you grow in faith. And there's everything you can think of, any Christian discipline you can think of, that's the way it is. The Lord said to me one time, really, all failures in Christian life are a failure in faith. Well, what about the love walk, Pastor? Yeah, it's a failure to believe that the love of God shed abroad in our hearts and to stay hooked up to it. And then that's the best way. Remember, love is the most excellent way. That's the best way. That's the best way to fight there is. Somebody else wants to fight, you're going to walk in love. And man, that makes them mad. But you'll win every single time. All right, but we got to keep moving. How about developing the Christian discipline of walking in peace? You do that by faith. Walking in joy, you do that by faith. Staying in the will of God when your flesh doesn't want to, you do that by faith. We receive our needs met by faith. All the redemptive rights, we receive them by faith. We take advantage of our seat far above by faith. We live in victory over the enemy, the forces of darkness, by faith. Amen. So we just have to develop in faith. Now, the Lord is the perfecter of our faith. Say that out loud. The Lord, it's talking about Jesus, you understand. The Lord is the perfecter of my faith. So that's what that means is, there are going to be lessons in faith. By listening to the Lord, He's going to school you into the walk of faith. By lessons, He's going to run lessons on you. Because we're His children. How many of you parents run, you train your children, you're training them in things, you run lessons on them. And if they don't get the first time, you do it again. And if it's 792, then we're still doing this. Because you're going to get this. Amen. I mean, we're training. And the Lord is training us in faith. He'll teach us. He'll deal with us to do things certain ways in certain situations in order to develop our faith. And those ways that He leads us will not always be what's most comfortable on the flesh. But, and here's what I want to spend the service on tonight, it will always be what's best for your faith.
Amen.
Amen. Your flesh might want to jump out of the marriage. But that's just weak faith.
That's right. That's weak faith. Come on.
Your flesh doesn't want to put up with this anymore.
Come on.
With anybody, not just marriage, but you know. Well, I've had enough. I'm gone. Well, what's that going to do for your faith? Amen. It's going to actually damage it. There are times the Lord, I don't have any doubt, there's times the Lord leads people out of marriages. But not as often as people say that He's leading them out of their marriages.
Come on.
Amen. Every marriage is going to have an opportunity to say, I'm out of here. Adios. Bye-bye. You know, if you haven't been through that yet, you haven't been married more than 2 hours. Amen. Maybe a little longer than that, but anyway. So, but there's areas that the Lord will deal with us not to just quit in. Because if we'll stay put, our faith will learn. We'll learn so much about trusting God. I learn more in the fire of faith than I do reading my Bible in faith. I'm not minimizing reading my Bible, but that's like textbook knowledge. But whenever I'm in the middle of a test or trial, now I'm getting experiential knowledge. And I used to think I knew what I was talking about whenever I told you what the word said, but now I really know what I'm talking about. It did so much for my faith. My parents, I was raised, I was not coddled as a child. I wasn't coddled ever. I wasn't just, that just wasn't their style, their flow. I didn't have everything handed to me. You know, when I got my first car, you know, I'm not saying that it would be wrong to do this, but I'm just saying the way I was raised. I'm not telling you what to do per se, but I'm just simply saying when I got my first car, I went to Dad and said, I want to get a car. You know, I'm turned 16, so I want to get a car. Okay. How much are you going to spend on it? Me? Yeah, you. Well, let's see here. I got to figure that out. Yeah, you better figure that out. How much you want to spend on it?
Yeah.
I thought, well, they'll help me a little bit or something. Maybe the down payment on it. Nope, didn't get any help on that.
Come on.
Maybe they'll help me make payments. Nope, didn't get any help on that. Well, at least pay me my gas. I mean, you got a big gas tank right there. Nope, that's not your gas. Well, what about the insurance? Nope, it's your car. That's the way I was raised.
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm not saying you have to do that. I'm not saying that's, I'm just, that's between you and God. I'm just telling you the way I was raised. And you know, it's like, whoa, man, they had money. I knew they had money. I mean, that new truck you just got, I mean, you paid cash for that. You know, I'm just, where'd that come from? And you just sold a whole batch of hogs at the top of the market because I had to load them on the truck. And you bought Mama a whole new set of kitchen cabinets, you know, paid cash for solid walnut kitchen cabinets, all new, everything new. I know you got money. Yeah, that's my money. That's the way I was raised. And it was rough. I mean, when I went to Bible school, you know, I thought maybe they'd help me, give me a bunch of money to help me get out there to school. Nope, nothing. I'm not saying that's what you should do. I'm just saying that's the way my parents raised me. And I mean, that was kind of rough. I had $500 in my back pocket. 1981 Toyota Celica, powder blue, hatchback. All on my own. Because they didn't support the Bible school I went to. Yeah. That's changed, you know, but I'm just talking about at the time. And so I had to leave with no support. My brother did, I think he handed me $100 or something. He said, Daryl, you know, he's the best of the whole family besides me. They might be listening tonight. But he said, now you get in that car and you get across those mountains of Pennsylvania, don't you look back. You know it's the will of God. I said, yes. But I cried. I didn't have any support. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes,
just nothing.
Yeah. Man,
it was rough.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
But you know, if somebody said, let's do this all over, I'd say, okay. I'd say, but let's do it the way we did it. Because it was rough on the flesh. But I had to learn faith.
Amen.
Out of necessity. Out of this, now I could have rebelled and said, God, if that's how you're going to treat me, I'm going to do it in your will. And I'd have gotten all huffy about it and offended about it and rebellious about it. And, you know, if I'd have done that, it wouldn't have worked for me. But because I stayed on God's side, didn't get all hurt and wadded up about it, you know. Because I sought God and learned his ways and learned how to receive and learned. I grew so much faster.
Amen. Praise God.
I said, I grew so much faster.
Amen.
I really feel sorry for a lot of kids that have everything handed to them. You'll get in the service here in a little bit. See, your teenagers are over there, so if you say amen, they can't get mad at you. You need to give them this CD tonight, you know. Praise the Lord. Praise God. What does it take for faith to grow? Well, the faith comes by hearing. Yeah, but there's more to it. You need to put some practice on that faith. You need some stretching of that faith, acting on that faith. And don't always do everything that's the easiest on your faith because it's easy on your flesh. Amen. If you listen to the Holy Ghost, He'll deal with you about these things. And His dealings will always bring you up.
Amen.
Are you with me? He'll always bring you up. God is all about promotion. You need to know that. He never teaches you to stay at the same level. He's always teaching you something to bring your faith up to the next level. If you and I are stuck in faith, if we're stagnant in faith, if we're at the same place now as we were last year at this time, then somewhere or another we're not listening because God will never get us stuck. If we're listening, we're always stretching. We're always reaching. Are you with me? Because He's always about promotion. And amen. And this is why you sometimes feel stretched. People sometimes, they don't want to come to Vision Sunday. I've noticed the pattern a little bit, in case you're wondering. I don't want to come to Vision Sunday. He's going to talk about all the money they need. That's because you don't like reaching in faith. You'll come after it's all paid off. And enjoy it all. And pull on that new parking lot and say, isn't this nice? But you don't like to stretch. You don't like to put a demand on your faith. You spiritually don't like to. You just like to stay within your comfort zone. Well, I didn't mean for getting all huffy about it, but I'm just. Amen. Tell your neighbor, pastor's happy. He's not mad at anybody. Amen. How many of you know God's not willing to let you where you are? Amen. Now, if that's what you choose, He'll let you live there. But that doesn't mean that's all He has for you. And when you come crying like, why is life just so stagnant? Nothing's happening. He'll try to stretch you in faith if you'll respond. Amen. Because He wants more for you. I said He wants more for you. Hallelujah. I've been taught by the Spirit to not always take the easy route. That's why you've heard me say over the years, there's been quite a number of times. In fact, one of the compensation board at the church here for Pastor Debbie and I's salary brought it up again this year. One of the persons on the board brought it up again this year about, well, this doesn't look like enough. I said, we're fine. We like to use our faith. Amen. I don't want to get lazy. I don't want to get flabby. I don't want to get depend. I don't want faith. I don't want to look like I've got faith because it looks like I'm riding high. But you look real close and there's a whole bunch of crutches underneath me holding me up. That makes sense. You understand what I'm talking about? I like what Jerry Seville said one time because he started out under Brother Copeland's ministry. Of course, he's still connected with him, but he started out as an employee of Brother Copeland's ministry. And he said, God, he's growing and learning. And of course, he's on staff there and being paid. He's at Brother Seville. And he said, he got to the place where he just knew he wanted to take another step and believe God without a salary. So he said to Brother Copeland, I want you to take me off salary. I want to believe God. Brother Copeland said, well, I'd be glad to pay. No, he said, I want to use my faith. Brother Copeland said, well, if you're sure. He said, yeah, I'm sure. So he took him off payroll. In other words, he didn't pay him for that next, couple weeks or month. And Brother Jerry said, so much money came in. He said if he'd have known God was going to treat him so much better, he'd have gone off salary a whole lot earlier than that.
Yeah. Come on.
See?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not preaching that for anybody to come tell me to do that. Yeah. I mean, that's not my motive. I'm serious. I'm not. Because people get funny ideas. What do you mean by that? That's not what I'm talking about crutches.
Right. Yeah.
I'm talking about crutches. And if God deals with you to Well, that'd be easy, you know. Somebody just wants to give you everything on a platter and it, you know, wouldn't have to use my faith for certain things. That'd be easier. You need to go and ask God, say, is that okay with you? Because I don't want this to be something that affects my faith wrong.
Yeah, that's good.
Because everything else can be kicked out from under me, and if I don't have any faith, I'm done.
Yeah, that's right, sir.
But if I've developed some, and something gets kicked out from under me, I'm not done.
Yeah.
I can stay up. I'm going to preach myself happy tonight. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Years ago, Brother Hagin said, now you could take this wrong, you understand, because people sometimes treat these things wrong in a marriage. You've heard my story about the ingrown toenail. So just remember that in the setting of what I'm getting ready to say. But he said, Brother Hagin, he and Miss Aretha got married, of course, all those years ago. And I don't even know what this means today. I guess there was some sort of medicine they would put on a swab and swab your throat if you got a sore throat or something. And he said, Miss Aretha had every year she'd have to have her throat swabbed because she'd get this terrible cough. And they were married for a while, and he's teaching faith and so forth. And she came after a few years or whatever. I don't remember all the timeline of everything, but she came and said, you know, I've had this terrible cough. I need to go get my throat swabbed. Brother Hagin said, well, this time, let's not do it. Mm-hmm. He said, I'll agree with you. And we'll use our faith. You'll use your faith. Mm-hmm. He knew she was ready.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know, sometimes your children, you can tell they're ready for something, but they don't want to be ready.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they still want to. Come on now. I'm not saying that about Miss Aretha. I'm just saying your children, sometimes you can tell. And that's the way spiritual growth is. You can be ready, but you don't want to grow up. And somebody needs to kick you out of the nest, so to speak. I heard a pastor say, I'll get back to Miss Aretha. But I heard a pastor say, he said, this is a minister. He's kind of funny. I enjoy listening to him. He's a good word preacher, but he's funny. He said he grew up in a pastor's home. His dad was a pastor, good successful pastor. But in fact, Brother Hagin preached for him quite often. But he said whenever this minister, this son of this pastor, was ready to get out of the house and go to, I think he went to Bible school first, if I remember right. When there was time for him to do that, his dad, his pastor said, all right, he said, well, you know, we're so glad you're obeying God and everything. He said, you've grown up in church. You know there's a God. You know he supplies all your needs according to his riches and glory, and I'm not him.
Yeah.
In other words, I'm not God. So don't be calling me when you need money.
Yeah.
If you're big enough to get out there and obey God, you're big enough to believe God for the supply for it.
Yeah.
Oh, I couldn't do that to my children. Yeah, and cripple them. Ooh, it didn't go over real big that time, did it? My parents prepared me for adulthood. They got me ready. That's why they were doing what they were doing. That's why they made me buy my car. They knew there's things coming I'm going to have to learn how to be responsible for. I'm going to have to pay the bill. I'm going to have to pay the rent. And I'm telling you, I'm so glad they did. So glad they didn't coddle me and give me everything. Because they would have crippled me spiritually and in development just naturally if they'd have kept me a baby. I'm a big boy, 18 years old, but they're still coddling me. Listen, parents do that and they wonder why their children just never take off. It's because you gave them everything free and you just let it, and it just, you didn't require any responsibility out of them. But I love them so much. I want it to be easy for them. Well, whenever you cripple them, that's not love. Love gets people ready for what's coming. And that's why God will do things which is best for your faith, because he knows what's coming. He knows he's got a plan for your life. He knows that plan is going to require increasing in faith. And he sees it and gets you ready now for what he knows is coming. Children think they're going to all their life, but that's not going to happen all their life. And if you're a good parent, there'll come a day you say, okay, Johnny, out. No more sucking the thumb. No more us paying the bills. Come on, parents. How many of you know you don't want a 32-year-old living in the basement, eating your food, watching your TV that you bought, sleeping in the bed that you bought? And if you want to start younger, then go for it. But I'm just saying, I'm making 32 is pretty safe. They need to. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. I knew you'd come to church eventually. I knew you'd start liking this. Praise God. If you listen to the Spirit, you won't always take the easy route on your flesh. You won't always go the route that's comfortable on your flesh. Amen. When it comes to decisions that God doesn't really say which way to go, ask Him which one would be best for my faith. If He says, well, you can do either one. You know, there's a lot of things He'll say, this is what I would prefer you do. But ask Him, if He's leaving it up to you, say, okay, Lord, You're the perfecter of my faith. I want what You want from me. And what You want from me is my faith to grow. So I'm asking you which way would be best for my faith. Not which way would be best for me in the flesh. What would be most comfortable for my flesh. But which way would be best for my faith. Amen. Amen. You'll ruin your children if you don't demand that they eventually grow up and be responsible. Amen. And you should count it an honorable thing to grow in faith and not depend on other people's faith. You got your own. You know how to go to the throne of grace and get answers to prayer. You know how to get direction from God rather than calling up pastor for an appointment. Don't say it. If you just called up for an appointment, don't think I'm talking about you. I'm just simply saying, because there's legitimate situations to have an appointment. But I'm just simply saying, you know what I'm saying. Yes. You know what I'm saying. I'm saying, every third week you want an appointment. That's what I'm talking about. And it's only because you don't have a prayer life and you don't want to use your faith. You want to suck the thumb and have the blankie, and you want somebody else to get, you want to mooch a blessing off somebody else's spiritual life. Amen. Well, tell your neighbor, he's not mad. He's just making it straight. Amen. You know, if you keep treating your, grown children as toddlers, that you'll keep them children.
Yeah.
I've seen that. Yeah. I could take you to gravestones right here in Cedar Rapids where how old was he? I'm trying to remember how old he was. 20. See, I think he's in his 20s. Maybe early 30s. Died for, I won't go into the details. I don't want people to think about who I'm talking about. But dead and in the grave, I think before they were 30, somewhere right around there. Because, and everybody was crying at the funeral, and the Spirit of God spoke to me about his mom, said she's the reason he's there. She coddled that boy. He got anything he wanted, and every little fleshly desire he got, and that's why he died. And if I went into the details, you'd understand more. Amen. That's not love. People think, oh, I love him so much. That's not love. Amen. And so if you and I don't do that to children, then God won't do it either, because he's the ultimate father. He will not keep you a spiritual baby. He's going to do what's best for your faith. So there's some things you shouldn't even ask God for. Let me tell you one you might want to be careful about. And I'm not saying God would never lead you out, but you might want to consider what I'm preaching tonight before you ask God, Lord, give me a new job. Everybody's persecuting me for being a Christian. What an opportunity to grow in faith.
Come on now.
You know you're really growing up when you stop crying when God puts a stretch on your faith. And when you actually begin to long for God to do what's best for your faith, you know you're becoming a humdanger right now. Amen. Praise the Lord. God prizes maturity. He prizes it over fleshly comfort. Amen. So when we begin to prize maturity as well, it shows that we are maturing. All right, next page. We'll see here. God is not out crippling us. He's out perfecting our faith and bringing us to maturity. Amen. If God's kicking crutches out from underneath you in an area so that you'll develop further in faith, just remember, what you cry about now, you'll rejoice about later. I cried over the mountains of Pennsylvania coming or going out to Bible school. I cried because that was rough, leaving your family. I mean, you know, and then no real support. I'm just talking about the past. It's all gone. But sometimes you got to hear these kind of things in order to really, for it to have the right impact. Everything has turned around. We are close. It's just wonderful. Our fellowship with our family now. But I'm just making I rejoice about it now. Because I was thrown out of necessity over on God, and He's all I had. So God, teach me. Amen. And I learned. You know, talking about, you know, crying about, or you know, crying about something you'll rejoice about later. You heard about the joke about the man who was being, for some reason, going through a psych ward where the real bad cases were, being taken through it. And they went to the real bad wing where the padded cells were. And they came up to this man. He's standing over against the wall, and he's beating his head against the wall. And he's saying, sorry, Mary. He's saying, Mary, 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 Mary. He's beating his head against the wall. He asked the director, he said, what's with that guy? He said, oh, years ago, he found his sweetheart, Mary, and she jilted him. And he went, Mary went and married somebody else, and he just lost his mind. Wow. Boy, he took it rough, didn't he? Yeah, he did. So they went around the corner and went down another wing. There was another man in this padded cell, standing up against the wall, beating his head against the wall. Mary, 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 beating his head. Oh, Mary. Well, wait a minute. That's the same thing that other guy was saying. What's going on here? He said he's the one that married Mary. Now, you know that's a clean joke because Brother Hagin told that joke. So that's a clean joke. Well, what am I saying? The first guy thought, you know, his life was just ruined because he didn't get to marry Mary. But the guy that married Mary, his whole life was ruined because he married Mary. If he'd have known what it was going to turn out like, he'd have rejoiced back there when she jilted him. Amen. So, don't when God's really stretching you and your flesh is weeping and crying and everything, just know the day's coming where you're going to rejoice. And be so glad He didn't make it easy on you. Amen. Why is God dealing with me so strong? Well, maybe because the plan He has for you just requires some faith. Well, He's not dealing with everybody else like He's dealing with me. I mean, He won't even watch me watch an hour of television anymore. I mean, I just working me over real strong. What's going on? I mean, I hear my friends, they spend all weekend goofing off and everything. Well, maybe they don't. What the plan is for their life doesn't require the same faith as what it requires for you. So don't get all comparing with other people and say, well, I don't know why God's dealing with me this way. Just go with it. Just be glad God's dealing with you. And just let Him work His plan. Hallelujah. Do you know there's similarities between, you know, the way parents raise children? There'll always be similarities between similarities that you apply to the way you raise every one of your children. But then there's things that God will deal with you uniquely about certain children. In order because of the way God's dealt with you about the plan for their life or something, He'll deal with you uniquely about certain ones of your children because He's getting them ready for a different track. And that's the way God is. He's generally, we're all growing in faith, but some of us maybe are on a different track than others. And when God's really requiring a lot out of us, just know He's getting, He knows what's ahead, and He's getting us ready.
Amen.
Getting us ready. Amen. Amen. Just rejoice that He loves you enough to correct you, loves you enough to see fit to make sure you're growing in faith, and just won't let you off the hook. You know what I mean by that? When you want to get lazy, just deals with you again. When you want to not speak the same word over and over again, he deals with you again. Just know He loves me enough to develop me in this, because He knows what's coming.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo-hoo. Glory be to God. And I'm just going to rejoice in it. He's fitting me for what's best for His plan. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Now, like I said, I really wasn't coddled whenever I grew up. I mean, when I was sick, they're usually, you know, runny nose, coughing or something. And I'm not telling you to do this. I'm just, think about what God would have you do. And I wanted to lay in bed and just moan and cry and do nothing. My mom always, every time. She said, get up, get outside, you'll feel better. You're raised like me, huh? Wonder which mom school is out there somewhere that everybody learns this. You'll feel better. Amen. Amen. See, sometimes we got to ask ourselves, is it just coddling my flesh to want to lay here? Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Now, there's a flip side to this. We just need to mention this, maybe going past this. That if you were raised that way, there's something you're going to have to guard against. And that is, you because of the way you're taught to not depend on anybody and, you know, not just to let your flesh have it the easy way and so forth. And you just pay your own way and everything like that. If you're not careful, then, which is a good virtue to have, you know, where you're not depending on other people, where everybody else pays your way, you know what I mean? But on the flip side of that, you can learn that wrong and never be able to receive. You know what I'm talking about? We need to learn to not, well, Brother Keith Moore made a statement one time. I'll just say it the way he said it. He said, listen to the way he said it. You got to hear everything he said. He said, when it comes to people, no, he's not talking about God. He said, when it comes to people, he said, expect nothing and be thankful for everything. In other words, you receive, but you're not walking around like, you know, I expect you to, you know, you owe me. And we got a generation in America right now that it's kind of scary, to be real honest with you. I like that statement. When it comes to people, you got to hear the whole statement, not when it comes to God, because we expect things from God because He's a good Father. But when it comes to people, you know, just looking to people for things, expect nothing, be thankful for everything. Isn't that good? Amen. Amen. The way my parents raised me, they were doing what's best for my development into adulthood. God will lead you some way sometimes that always aren't comfortable in your flesh, but they'll be the best for your spiritual development. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Learn to keep crutches out from underneath your faith. And learn to get them out as soon as you can. Now, there's times that, you know, you might go through something and because of where you are in faith, you get on medicine. And do you want to know the truth? There is no condemnation for that. Absolutely not. And if anybody in this church tries to put condemnation on you, send them to me.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Because that's not their life. It's your life, and
right.
It's your faith, your body, and your decision. And he's your Lord, and you know you're His servant, not anybody else's, and all of that. So you hear that. When I say that, you got to hear the way I say it. But it is honorable for you. If you get on medicine or something like that, and you know, I'd be a fool to criticize people for that because, you know, I had back injury and the Lord told me to go to get physical therapy. So, you know, you got to hear my heart when I say this. But what my point is, make it a point of honor with you that you don't just stay there.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen.
You know what I mean? That you start developing, that you start growing, because I'm not going to stay on this for the rest of my life. They might tell you you're going to, but you say, no. That would be lazy in faith. Are you there? Amen. Hallelujah. Reach for God's best and His highest. Amen. There are benefits to growing up. Oh, and they're wonderful. I said they're wonderful. So to best develop in faith, you got to seek to keep crutches out from underneath of you. As quickly as you can. Amen. Not stretching beyond your measure. Hey, if you're not there, you're not there. It would be unwise, and it wouldn't be the leading of the Spirit to stretch out to get off medicine when your faith isn't there. So you got to hear what I'm saying, but you just don't have the mentality. Okay, well, that's just the way it's going to be for the rest of my life. That's going to get you stuck. Because you have a wonderful opportunity. I don't mean God sent it, but you know what I mean. The devil will give you opportunities to grow in faith. And you just look at him and say, thank you for that opportunity. I'm going to show you that the Word of God is true. Praise the Lord. Don't ever get stagnant. Are you there? Kick those crutches out as soon as you can. Amen. Always seek to stretch. A few weeks ago, the Lord began to, I was talking about this on Monday night prayer, this past Monday night, the Lord began to deal with me about, and Pastor David and I have been talking about this, about another phase of ministry and starting churches out of this ministry. We got some spiritual sons coming up, and there's I've known this for a long time. I knew it was going to eventually come, but never had any dealings. You know, God never really dealt with me much about it, but He started to talk to me about it. And He's starting to, you know, give me some insight into what we're supposed to be doing and just, you know, a lot of things. But one of the things, I woke up one morning, He started talking to me about these things coming. And He said, now, they're going to be started, the spiritual sons going out, you know, and starting other churches. He said, and they're going to be supported by this local church. You know, Pastor Ike, we've supported him out of this local church. And that's right. Nothing wrong with that. And so, but He said, teach them. And He said to me, He dealt with me about some timelines to tell them you'd be willing to support them. But He said, teach them that they need to not just kind of depend on that. That it's a point of honor with them to not look to that forever, because, and He said, tell them it's not going to happen forever. Teaching them it's an honorable thing to grow up and get off the mother's milk, because other spiritual sons are coming up and they need to not, those ones that already went out need to not be taking all the milk from those that are coming up. And He gave me some timelines for it. Amen. They're going to have to learn to eventually stand on their own. Amen. And He said, if they can't after a certain period of time, and He said it was different for local churches in the United States than overseas, but He said if they can't within a certain period of time, then just call them and tell them, come on home, get a job.
Come on.
Well, that's rough. Well, that's the way I was raised. There comes a time where sink or swim. If you sink, come on home. Well, that's rough. Well, that's. Can you see how the Lord's dealing with me for what's best for their faith? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You and I will accelerate better spiritually by allowing God to do what's best for our faith. Amen. Now, let me address and finishing this up an area that keeps people from growing in faith if they don't change. And you're not going to get mad at me, right? People keep do things that's easiest on their faith. In this area, where they're always buying the cheapest brands. Bye-bye, everybody. Always just saving the Lord's money and buying the cheapest brands. I will say this. God has never told me to buy the cheapest. You still with me? You're going to check out on me. Just look at the clock and say, this can't be longer than 10 or 15 minutes here. This is God. I'll just endure my way through it. I don't think he'll tell you to buy the cheapest because he's not cheap. How could that be his leading? Besides, I've learned this about buying cheap. You actually spend more money buying cheap because you spend twice because it'll break. And what you find out eventually is, this isn't working. This is a wrong mentality. Amen. So, you're really cheating your life by just staying where you just buy the cheapest. And you're also cheating your faith. Are you there? You're really not doing what's best for your faith. Really, and you aren't even saving any money. Amen. How many of you know we're not called to have the cheapest and the world has the best? I said, we're not called. I mean, is that the way God wants his to be represented in amongst the world where the church has the cheap stuff and the world has all the best? Amen. Everybody just keep looking straight ahead. God deserves the best. Are you there?
Yes.
Brother Copeland told a story one time. He said he built a building, and minister friend was visiting. He said, I'll show you around the building. So they toured the building. And while they're touring, Brother Copeland made several statements, a couple statements like this. He said, well, we were going to do this and this and this, but in order to save money, we changed it, and that's why it's this way. And so he said at the end of the other minister friend left, he said, the Lord spoke to him and said, I want to talk to you a minute. He said, yeah. He said, what is it, Lord? He said, so you're saving my money. You're saving the Lord's money. Well, yeah, Lord. I mean, yeah. He said, okay, where is it?
Okay. Yeah.
You got it in the bank?
Oh, come on.
Because he paid cash, for the building. Yeah. You got it in the bank? Well, no, Lord. Well, he said, then you didn't save any money. He said, you just cheated yourself out of what you could have had.
All right.
I don't know how well this is going to finish up, but we're going to... At least we started out strong. Yeah, praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. People sometimes try to impress people, this is going to be rough. I don't know.
Now,
who wrote this? Did you write this? People try to impress people with how they save money. You know, if somebody sees something real nice, oh, well, I got it on sale. And I, you know what they're doing? They're apologizing for having it.
There you go. Come on.
They're apologizing for having it. Never apologize for the blessings of God.
Amen.
Just don't feel like you got to, you're ashamed that you have it. Amen. And a lot of times we are we know what the person that is saying something has. And, we feel like we've got to apologize because we have it and they don't. You don't have to apologize for what you have.
Amen. Come on.
Now, there's a side to it, bragging and flaunting and all that. That's just as sinful as anything. But you know what I'm talking about.
Sir.
You don't need to apologize. Amen. It's just a mentality. And you're cheating yourself. Break that mentality. I remember the day this happened with me for years. Years. I'd be shopping for clothes. I'm not a clothes shopper, but you do have to eventually get some new clothes.
Yes, you do.
So I was shopping one day and I was And my habit, I got to start in this back in Tulsa. And I don't have time to go into it all. But anyway, I just got into the habit of looking for the sale rack and, you know. And listen, I know some of you are having struggles with this, but you just have to hear the heart of it. I don't think you have to buy, I don't think it's wrong to buy it if it's not on sale. Do you like it? Do you want it? Is it within your measure of faith? I was doing that. For years I was buying, well, I know it's just more money than I normally spend on shirts or whatever. So I put it back. I go over to the sale rack. I like this one all right. But, you know, it's supposed to be large and it's medium and it looks okay, but, you know, well, kind of like it. I don't want to spend much money, so I'll buy this one. I was living that way, just always buying less than what I really wanted. And probably even had the money in my pocket to buy the nice one. And I remember the day that changed. I was in Nordstrom's in Kansas City. Kansas City. Nordstrom's. And I'm doing that. I saw a shirt I really liked. I think it was $150. I'm like, I don't want to spend $150 on a shirt. My goodness. Man, I put it back. I really like it. Man, that's a nice shirt. Woo, look at that. Well, Pastor Debbie, think of me in that. Man, I'll tell you what.
Come on now.
I got to keep up with her, you know. I said the other day, I need to buy some suits. I'm running out of suits again. And she said, well, and I need some clothes too. I said, why? Just because I'm spending money. I do it twice a year. And I know she's going to fuss about that, so I'll stand over here. But anyway, can I get a ride home?
Yes, sir. Sure.
Yeah, okay. But I'm in that Nordstrom's. I don't want to spend $150 on a shirt. I went over back to this one. I liked it all right. You know, this wasn't quite, you know, it's okay. And I was carrying that up to the to the cash register. And I went, that's it. No. I put it back. And I went over and I got that other shirt. And I went up there and paid for it real quick. You know what I'm talking about? And it broke something off of me. Well, you shouldn't spend your money on that. Okay, let me nose into your business. We're believing God for this new era and to fund buildings. And we can't buy a $150 shirt. Somewhere we got to change this mentality. Standing in the cereal aisle, looking at the cereal, looking at the ones that don't even have a box, just the bags.
Don't do it.
And they taste terrible. And we're believing God for millions. All right. Yeah, really. Come on, somebody. Tell your neighbor we're busting out of some mentalities tonight. Amen. Oftentimes, buying the cheapest is drawing back in faith. Amen. And we ought to think that way about the church, too. Well, God doesn't need all that. Remember God dealt with him in the Old Testament about bringing the blind and the lame. And remember he said that? That was a kick in the behind. In other words, he's basically saying, I need to be honored more than that. But if we can't even get it out of our own personal lives, we're never going to have it for the church. We're never going to have it for missions. And, you know, come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Need to come up in our level of thinking, come up in our level of believing. I'm not telling you to waste money. I'm not telling you to operate beyond your measure of faith. You understand what I'm talking about. I'm telling you, we just got to stop settling for less than what really God has for us in life. Amen. God will let you have cereal without a box. I mean, He'll. That's where you want to be. He'll let you have that. But that doesn't mean He's saying that's all I have for you. I feel mean on unbelief tonight. Glory to God. I'm just telling you, not settle for less than what God has for you. And breaking some old habits. Amen. I've heard God tell me to stay within my measure of faith. But I've never had God tell me to buy the cheapest. You hear the difference between what I said? He's never told me to buy the cheapest. I have at times because that's where my measure of faith was. But he's never told me. He just said, stay within your measure of faith. If that's the only thing you got tonight, catch that. Amen. How about doing this in our giving, our measure of giving? Maybe if we've given our tithes for the week or something, then we're going to give an offering. Maybe we do it in certain denominations. And I'm not going to get into what it is. I mean, that's between you and God. But let's just, wherever we are, maybe that's just where we've been for 5 years. Well, if it's not tithe, we just give a whatever offering. It's just a Wednesday night.
Come on.
You know, Wednesday nights we give whatever. Why don't you stretch?
There you go. Amen.
Yeah.
Pastor Debbie and I have been practicing that for how long? Since, I don't know, 12, 15 years ago here. We just kept on every service. We don't give below this. We keep growing. I mean, sometimes this is what we decide. We set the measure. Remember the Bible said, God, according to every man as he purposes in his heart, let him give. God doesn't, you don't have to wait on God to tell you you're going to stretch some. He'll let you decide, I'm going to stretch. I like Pastor Nancy said something along this line. She said, you train your children, clean your room, take the trash out, brush your teeth, don't forget. And there comes a day where it kicks in. It's like it got through their brain. And they go do it without you telling them to do it. Party! Hallelujah! Party! You come home and it's done. Whoa. I'm impressed. Now, right there, that there's a Warner boy right there. I'm telling you, right there. Are you with me? What would God think if rather than just wait on him to keep kicking us out of the $5 giving boat, we just decide on our own, I'm going to stretch. What would your heavenly father do? He'd back up and he'd go, whoa, that's my boy right there. Just doing it because they want to do what's best for their faith. Could you stand with me? Thank God for the word. I like this. If you don't like it, give it back to me. I'll take it. Praise God. So tell your neighbor, practice the stretch. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Once you set a new standard, never back off of it. Once you set a new standard, never back off of it. Whether it's giving, whether it's the way you buy your clothes, you know. If the new standard is, listen, if I like it and it's in my measure of faith,
amen.
Get it.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, that's not important to me. Well, maybe it's not about you. Maybe he's trying to work something in you for your faith. So that he can say, okay, now you're on that level. Now I can use you in this area on a new level. You know what my parents doing what they did prepared me for? They prepared me for faith projects that I could take on. Now, I'm not saying I'm the ultimate in the body of Christ because I know other people beyond me. So hear what I'm saying. But they prepared me for faith projects that I could take on that somebody who was coddled, somebody coming up in the ministry that was coddled couldn't be used in. Because they haven't had to do anything in faith yet. Mama handed them everything. And if God tried to put that assignment on them, they'd quit. Go home crying to Mama. Come on now. Some of us got some answers tonight. Hallelujah. He's working things in us sometimes. So don't criticize somebody if they take a new standard and it looks like, man, well, I don't think they should buy that kind of thing. Just stay out of it. Just hush. Just let God be their Lord. Let Jesus be their. Let God work in them what He's working in them. And just let Him do what gets them ready for what's coming down the road.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.